live from State Street in the heart of Chicago. You are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Sorry, Michael Wilbon, normally on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, brought to you by Waddle's guys over at Hawk.
That is correct. HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Michael, it's great to talk to you. I don't know if you know this, but the Bears went down to Springfield today, and they met with the governor, or I should say the governor's people, because the governor did not attend. And the governor's press secretary issued a statement saying that this is a non-starter. I ask you, Michael Wilbon, is this stadium deal dead on arrival?
No, of course not. And
can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. No, nothing's ever... come on. You guys have been around too long for this. You're not 12 years old. This is called negotiation. It's a non-starter when Boris says his guy's not going to sign either. What happened? I mean, come on.
Sylvie, you won the money. Sylvie won the money. Yeah. He guessed that's what you were going to say. Yeah. I guess you were going to say you weren't even going to engage. You're going to be like,
I'm not really engaged. I mean, you know... They'll get a new stadium in Chicago. It will be on the lakefront. There will be concessions. The Bears will have to come off some stuff. The city will have to come off some stuff. That's how these things get built. Nobody just walks in and says, give me a couple of bill, and somebody says, okay. That's, you know, not how it works. Not how it's ever worked.
In general terms, are you a guy that believes that these are billionaires who own these entities, that for the most part, they should all be responsible for building their own stadiums? Or do you believe that there is a positive financial impact that is part of the equation here, and that some of the communities should also participate?
Probably about 60-40 or 65-35. You know, nothing's ever all of anything. You know, one of my favorite sayings is more than one thing can be true.
Sure.
And so more than one thing is true in this case. They are billionaires. I don't know what the Palace's net situation is, Halas McCaskey. I don't know. I don't know their finances. I know very little about finance, period. But I think that cities are, you know, certain teams, not every team, certain teams are civic treasures, and they are, you know, they are part of a areas of a community's value and attractiveness and desirability and lure. And so are the Bears that? Yeah, they are. How do I fix that in terms of some formula? I can't. That's why I write about sports for a living. The other kids who grew up in my house figures out stuff like we're talking about for a living. But I have, as you can tell with this and with where I live, I have zero angst about this stuff. I just don't. It works itself out, and people have brilliant, new, beautiful playpens to get into, and that's that.
Let's get to the football aspect of this. How, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you over what the Bears did in the draft, especially in the first round? And how excited is Matthew?
11. No, he's not. You know, I take that back. Because so then we're listening. We're waiting on the pick to be made as soon as Atlanta's on the clock. And Jordan, my nephew, who is 22 years old, so older and got, you know, a little bit more of this. He remembers a little bit more. He remembers the Jay Cutler, you know, 2010 Bears because he was 10. He just says, this is the most excited I've been since Derrick Rose. I'm freaking out. That's Jordan. Matthew says, hey, it's the most excited I've been since Justin Fields 4 years ago, Jordan. Like, don't forget, it was a great moment in our little, in our family, because that was a great point that Matthew made. And, you know, he's sort of hands off this. He's excited. We've already decided we're going to this game and going to that game. He's excited, but not quite as excited as Don and Jordan and me. So he's, you know, he's all. And the funny thing is, and you know, I said to him, hey, only one of us went to high school where this kid went to high school. You know, get your attitude right. And he's still sort of, you know, he was really a Justin Fields kid. And so I get that part. I told him, I said, look, I was too, but we're past that now. Get over that part. And, so yeah, I couldn't be, you know, this is the most excited I've been since. And because it's more than just Caleb, because of the whole package of Keenan Allen, you know, getting traded in, already having, you know, a great wide receiver on hand and DJ Moore, and then drafting Caleb and Odunze, for me, it's the most excited I've been since Derrick Rose, probably.
I feel the same way, Mike. And I'm sure that as we sit here and we talk, this one feels different to me. And I'm sure if there's somebody in Wisconsin, in Green Bay, or Minneapolis, or in Detroit right now hearing me say this, they're giggling. They're saying, you know what? You guys said that a few years ago. You guys have always said that.
They're not saying that.
Well, this one feels different to me for a lot of reasons. It just feels all of it is being done the right way, and it's just kind of all falling into place. Now they've got to execute. Now they got to develop the quarterback, and now they got to deliver. Yep. But this one does feel different to me.
This step. And by the way, no, they're not giggling at us, because I'm in Arizona still, back in Arizona right now, and I'm around a bunch of cheeseheads and Minnesotans. A few more Lions fans personally than geographically, but they're like, God, you guys had a great, this is incredible. No, they're not. I haven't run into anybody who has said, yeah, right, get a clue. I haven't. Not even the cheeseheads, who have every right to say that. So, you know, we'll see. I'm certainly wired about this. Part of it, so on draft night, and I haven't talked to you guys since then, part of it was I kept thinking, we need a pass rusher. You know, we need a left tackle. I'm going to be okay if Odunze is not there. But when the Atlanta Falcons announced they're taking Michael Penix, there was a scream in my house that was, you would have thought I hit the lottery. Because I don't even know what to do with this. I mean, Tommy, you're excused from this discussion with Sylvie and me because you actually, offensive football not only looks like, but feels like, because you did it. Sylvie and I have no idea. We have no idea. Bears fans have no idea. We've never. So for us to even have this, it's like, what are you talking about? And so I'm excited about, I don't know that, and part of me was saying that, you know, let's take that defensive tackle kid from Texas. You know, let's take him. Because that's a Bears thing to do. Wow, a million times over.
Yeah, it was great. And it's great to hear you scream like a fan, like a kid again. Because a draft, you usually don't get that excited.
I have to put the professional cap on quite a bit. But, yeah, I'm more excited about this because I don't do it anymore. I'm not in the stadium in a press box talking to players in locker rooms and coaches and trying to make sense of stuff anymore. I don't do that. I've reverted to fandom by and large. That started for me with the Cubs in 15. In 15 it started where I was no longer the person – I have been for the previous 35 years. So now I'm there because now I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm like, I can't wait till the schedule comes out because I am going to going to go to, you know, I would think multiple games, including the first one. I hate the fact that we're playing a game that counts against our home schedule in London. I hate that. Don't like that at all. But what are you going to do? I'm excited.
You liked the punter pick, too, didn't you? Number 122 overall.
No, I loved the punter pick. So I was out doing something, and I get a text from some angry Bear fan saying, one of my buddies, I'm going to name them so people can make fun of them.
Yeah.
One of my dear friends, Cephas Miller, St. Ignatius' own, Northwestern's own. But he lives in Wisconsin now, so God only knows what is in, you know, gone through his brain. He's lived in Green Bay for years. So Cephas texts and he says, we took a punter. I'm like, yo, dude. And Don and I are screaming out loud again on the phone because we sat at Wrigley Field together. And we watched this kid for Iowa just float 60-yard punts in the air. Once again in Wrigley, not in some stupid dome. In Wrigley Field. And we watched him do this at Wisconsin. We watched him do this at, you know, at Iowa with the wind swirling, cold, rain, clouds. And this kid is kicking the ball like he is a 14-year-old and he's doing it against 5-year-old kids with a Nerf ball. He's just killing it.
Like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick contest years and years ago.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I'm thinking, Tommy. And so anyway, Don and I are sitting there, and I don't know who said it, but one of us said, my God, this kid has a Sunday leg. He has a Sunday leg. Look at this kid. And first of all, he's like 6'4", 230, right? So we're watching him in live time. We have no idea what his name is. We don't know his history. We don't know if he's a senior and he's going to be drafted. We don't know anything. All we know is, like the old days, we don't have, you know, any numbers on him. He is kicking the hell out of the ball at Wrigley Field. And so to get this kid, then I'm like, wait a minute. We drafted the punter from Iowa? Are you kidding me?
Can I read you something, though? Wilbon, let me read you this.
My kid, my friend Cephas.
Let me read you this. You know, like how you read like a critic who reviews a movie and they have a comment on it, like 4 stars. Yeah. It was the best movie I've seen. So I have a review on the punter pick. And the reviewer says, this reeks of arrogance. Signed, Tom Waddle.
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
But had you ever seen the kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I majored in punters. Yes, I know punters. This is my explanation for that. That was a pick that I thought, and again, like I've said 1,000 times, like I'm not going to stress over it. I would not have done it. I'd rather them take a pass rusher, an offensive tackle, maybe a guard or something like that.
Right.
But that's a pick you make when you are ultra confident that your roster is pretty close to complete, and that you think that this guy is a lifetime Pro Bowler.
But okay. I just think even the second one alone. But here's the other thing. I love the pick of the Yale kid, who I knew a little bit about because, you know, I got some lunatics I know who follow Ivy League sports, plural, and they follow this. And so this kid, I think it was Cephas again who says, that kid played in 3 games last year. I'm like, hey, dope. He started 3 years previous to that. If he had played 13 games this year, we wouldn't have been able to draft him there. He would have gone off the board earlier. And he's a swing offensive lineman, a tackle and guard. We've had injuries and underperformance early on at those spots. I love that pick in live time. I didn't have to wait for, you know, a reviewer. Let me declare. I know I can be wrong about this stuff. Anybody can be wrong about the draft. But I liked that kid, the Yale kid. Loved him. And by the way, how about the fact that kid wanted to be a Bear since he was a kid? You guys know his story?
Yes.
They love that. They love the local kid wanting to play for their local
team. Come on now. He's from Hinsdale or somewhere.
And then the golf course.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great
did you hear what he said to Eberflus a year ago on the golf course?
Yes. Yes, I did.
At Kemper.
I didn't know about that until I read that the next day. Good reporting.
Yeah.
So I like that pick. And what was the other pick? I liked him and the punter. So, Tommy, I hear you. I wanted an offensive lineman. Okay, we already got one. Then the edge rusher, listen, you know, one of the former Bears that I'm closest to wears a gold jacket and a Super Bowl MVP ring.
Yes.
He was drafted when, the seventh or eighth round?
Eighth. Okay. Richard Dent.
So, Richard
That's Dent. All. That's all. That's so all I'm saying.
I'm like, okay, can we get – so anyway, the edge – because I went crazy over – I hate the draft. You guys know this. I hate the draft. I hate it. I hate the hype over it. I hate the obsession with it. I hate it. I'm going back to hating it right now. But so the night before, I'm reading about the top 30 edge rushers in somebody's compilation. And I read about this kid from Kansas, and he just sounds promising. Like, you know, he had some rawness to him, but he was also 6'5", and it was sort of mysterious. And so anyway, I said to Don, I go, well,
Mr. Wilbon, can I get you another glass of Bears Kool-Aid?
Yeah, no, you know I'm not. You know this is not normally me.
I know.
But so then when they call his name, I'm like, wait a minute. I just read about this kid. Who knows? I didn't see him play. I don't know. But I like the Yale pick. I love the kicker from Iowa. Don't even know his name. And the Kansas kid, I could pick his name out of a multiple choice quiz. Booker, as in Devin. So, yeah, I knew about him. You know, look, I need the first two guys to work. That's what we really need. But, yeah, if the other three guys work out, how insane would that be? And good for them.
Well,
I mean,
Mike, let me ice the cake for you as well, because this draft this year, they used several of their resources on guys in trades. They used a second-round pick on Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
They used a fourth-round pick on Keenan Allen. They used a fifth-round pick on Ryan Bates. So if you put it all, and maybe some people won't subscribe to the same way of thinking, but I don't. I subscribe to, like, these are all assets that were acquired with draft picks in the 2024 season. So to me, they're part of this draft in my evaluation.
Yes, I believe in that too. If you use those, it's called draft capital for a reason.
Yes, exactly.
Draft assets for a reason. You use them to do what you need to do. And especially when you're building at this stage, or if you're filling in and you go out and you get you use a young player who was one of your draft picks to get a closer who can throw 103 miles per hour, even if you have to give him up after a year, you do that so you can get the first ring you got in 108 years. Talking about Chapman for the Cubbies. So this is what draft assets are meant to do. And yes, in a perfect world, you use them to draft people that you could have for 8 to 10 years. But it's not a perfect world. By the way, I keep hoping that the Bears will get in on this Bengals edge rusher who had like 18 and a half sacks last year, who suddenly wants to be traded.
Hendrickson. It sounds like they may re-sign him, though. Michael, let's continue this next week. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys. Be good.
We got to run. Thanks. There's Michael Wilbon. We got to. I think we have to crosstalk with Black and Abdallah coming up, right? Black and Abdallah's up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Listen to us now live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
I forgot what it was like to crosstalk with Black and Abdallah. It's been so long.
Back and better than ever. Sorry.
Force of habit.
Bubba.
Force of habit.
Devin.
Sorry.
Hashtag crew.
You're back and better than ever is very good.
You guys miss us?
And we do.
Of course. Yes.
What's up? What's
and you
going
guys
on?
Were yes. out of the office yesterday, too, on assignment, I heard.
Yeah.
We were on a food tour in Tinley Park. Life Amplified, get out there. There's a lot of great restaurants.
I ate so much food.
Yeah, we were having a great time yesterday.
What was your favorite thing you had?
Well, I had the best piece of key lime pie I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow. Heavenly. It was so delicious.
It was delicious from Vinny's.
There were some good ribs.
And Frankie's the short rib risotto.
Oh, I love short ribs.
Short rib risotto was insane.
It was very good.
Did you have any drinks?
Yeah, we went to a brewery. Nice. Bang & Gavel Brewery. They make their own beer there. It was great.
I love beer.
We also had the martinis, too.
Yeah, the martinis.
Did you have a martini?
We started out at 11:30 in the morning with some
the
martinis.
Bar of martinis. Yeah. There were like six of them.
Yeah.
It was
morning
delicious.
Martini?
Yeah.
Station cover that for you guys?
Oh, yeah, we were good. Yeah, it was great. It was a great time.
Awesome. Our crosstalk with Black and Abdallah, like the old days, with no Sax Baseball on here, is brought to you by Steinhoffel's four Chicagoland locations. I just visited the one in Vernon Hills, and I bought a whole bunch of stuff, including a brand new couch, and it's awesome. It will be delivered soon. I believe the delivery for a lot of the stuff comes on Tuesday.
What's the?
I was going to say, when do we start slapping?
I was going to say, what's the slap policy? Do you get to return like a cushion? Do they like refurbish a cushion for you?
Put funny. A towel down first, I think.
The plastic down. You know, it's funny. You know how they say you become your parents? Like I think I told you guys this, that I was like during March Madness, I was telling Braxton, do not slap the couch. And I caught myself. I'm like, what have I become? And look at who he's become. He's become me. Stop yelling at him.
That's amazing.
That's perfect.
So the White Sox, they lost today, 10-5. They are now
don't hate, Chris. Don't hate.
No, I'm
don't
not. Hate. I'm not hating. I'm
don't
just going to give you some
facts.
The facts. They are 14 games back of first place and 10.5 games back of the wild card. Southside, stand up.
Did you hear the old owner of the White Sox today? What he was called?
No,
Bill Veeck.
Do you have that Mellor? Is Mellor still there? Or
no.
Mellor's on the east.
Mellor's long
gone.
He's gone.
On this date in 1960, Al Smith connects on a home run, setting off Bill Veeck's new exploding scoreboard for the very first time.
That's Mr. Southside. That's Mr. Southside right there.
Also, a very good friend of George Halas, Bears owner.
Bill Veeck's new exploding scoreboard.
You're good. We're a minute away from the end of the show. That was a walk-off for you.
As long as he gets
Reinsdorf. That's outstanding.
As long as he gets Reinsdorf right, I don't think he cares.
Lord. Does he know?
I thought the best stat of the day, guys, honestly, or factoid, was they've already lost the season series to the Twins. It's May 1st. The Twins have a 7-0 against the Sox. They play 13 games against the Twins over the course of the entire baseball season. They've already lost the season series.
We were driving back yesterday from Tinley Park, and we were listening to you guys break down the announcing situation, Southside stand up to all the haters. You guys were great on that topic yesterday.
Yeah.
Declining the interviews. That's interesting.
It's all unbelievable.
Right. Okay.
Unless you're Scott Merkin.
New to town. Not interested. I'm with you, Sylvia. I can't believe he, like, in Waddle, I can't believe he doubled down.
Right.
Well, Chris, that's like, crazy to me.
We wanted to have him on this, you know, just to ask him why this the hater conversation or the hater mention.
Who are you talking about?
And I thought, Chris, that he was going to say, like, hey, I got lost in the moment. And, you know, look, I know the fans are passionate and all that. You're right. He completely doubled down.
I understand that there's probably a line of thought where if you're super you're the super homer guy, that you're going to ingratiate yourself to the new fan base, right? Except we're not idiots. The team sucks, and doing the over the top I'm the homer guy, there are no haters. The team's not good enough to have haters.
There are more people unhappy than there are people happy, so actually going after the haters, you've alienated the majority of Sox fans.
Well said. So strange.
Well said. All right, Black and Abdallah,
here we
back.
Go.
Yes,
right.
Let's go.
Yes.
And thank you today to Michael Wilbon and all the callers today. Don't forget, Ryan Pohl's on with us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Ooh. Thank you to Tyler. Thank you to Mellor. Thank you to Waddles. Is that a Coors Light or Miller Light?
Coors Light, yeah. Yes,
Coors
sir.
Light. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.